Russia's health ministry has come up with a novel scheme to persuade Russians to eat more healthily. And it seems to have sort of jumped on the economic crisis and said, look, now is the time for you know, Russians who tend to like rather fatty food to change their dietary habits. Now, I have to say, I've been looking at their website to see what they're suggesting, and it's pretty bland fare. It's things like oat porridge for breakfast and sort of cabbage and cauliflower salad, a lot of fish. Herring is very good, apparently. And bedtime snack is a glass of healthy yogurt and a slice of bread. I mean, there's no pizza. And I have to say, there's none of the food, like blinis, pancakes and pelmeni, that most of my Russian friends seem to eat.
So how do you think Russians will react to this?
Well, I suspect that they will probably ignore it. I mean, it's true that Russians are poorer. They're trying to economize. There's been a huge increase in food prices here, 17% on last year, and a lot of stuff here is imported. We have to see. Russian food is very kind of wholesome and very tasty, but I have to say, from my personal experience, you do slightly grow tired of it. And the idea of eating cabbage salad and oatmeal porridge every morning isn't really very appealing, but let's see.
So tell us a bit more about how the global economic downturn is affecting ordinary people in Russia.
It's been a huge story here. For the first 3 months or so, the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin, Russia's prime minister, blamed the whole crisis on America and said it was an American problem. Now, 6 months in, it's obvious that that's not true, that this has had a profound effect on Russia, on living standards here, on unemployment, which is, I think, now hitting about 7 million. The crisis is very, very serious. The ruble has been sinking dramatically. It's lost more than 30% of its value since last autumn. And I think, interestingly, it's also exacerbated political tensions between Vladimir Putin, who's the prime minister and is supposed to be the second person in government, and Dmitry Medvedev, who in theory, as Russia's president, is supposed to have the final say on everything. But I think no one is under any illusions here that Putin is still very much running the country, which, of course, for Medvedev is something of a humiliation.
So what's Medvedev himself been saying about the recession and how the country can weather the storm?
Well, Medvedev has been calling for reform. He's said that the government needs to do better. He's talked about kind of liberal economics, but the problem is that his power base appears to be dwindling. What we're seeing at the moment is a kind of war between rival Kremlin clans, if you like. And really, in this game of Russian politics, there's only one winner, and that, of course, is Mr. Putin. The interesting question is, you know, has Medvedev got it in him to rebel against Putin? Theoretically, he can sack Putin. And I think the answer is no. I think genetically he's not capable of doing that. He's always been the junior partner. The two men have had a relationship going back to the early 90s when they were both worked in St. Petersburg's mayor's office. And although his position is a humiliating one, I don't see Medvedev turning. And I also think probably the relationship between the two of them is fundamentally good. It's fundamentally sound. But Medvedev has been doing some interesting things. For example, in January, after a human rights lawyer here and a journalist was shot dead on the streets of Moscow, Medvedev invited the editor of Novaya Gazeta, the kind of oppositionist newspaper, to go and see him. And that's something that would have been unthinkable, that Putin could never have done. And it's a kind of it's a sign to the Russian elite, if you like, that Medvedev, though he may be the number two, that he's still in the game.